Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we are in Acts 20, following Paul's missionary journey. Did you ever notice that Paul seems to stir up things wherever he goes? Let's find out what he stirs up today in Acts 20, all 38 verses, and we'll listen in to the recording.
Acts 20. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him. And of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer, and being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said,
"Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him."
And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive, and were not a little comforted. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, for so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and went to Mytilene. And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Chios. The next day we touched at Samos, and the day after that we went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so that he might not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them,
"You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship.
My journal entry in 2007, after reading Acts 20, was this: Sensing God. Paul had a feel for God and his direction. Paul wanted to go to Syria, but instead went through Macedonia. He stopped in his hometown of Troas, knowing it was his last time. He stayed there 7 days and spoke his heart out one last time. He gathered all the elders of Ephesus together one last time. He headed for Jerusalem, knowing bonds and affliction awaited me. I wrote, "Life is only to finish the ministry which we have received from Jesus Christ and share this gospel. Do not shrink back." I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that it seemed to be wherever Paul went, he stirred things up. And this chapter opens up after the uproar ceased. But then look what it says in verse 1. Paul says, after encouraging them. Then later on, he gave them much encouragement. Verse 3. Paul was an encourager. How about you? Are you an encourager to others about your faith in the Lord? About their walk in the Lord? When you get into a discussion about spiritual things, even if it causes an uproar, still be an encouragement to others. Now, when Paul had gathered all the elders in Ephesus together, he says this about his life. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those were verses 18 through 21, and that's a summary of how Paul lived his life. He served the Lord with humility. Though it wasn't easy, he said with tears and with trials, but he did not shrink from teaching everyone he met about repentance toward God and of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing? Is that a summary of your life, like Paul's? Well, you could say, hey, that's not fair. That's not a fair comparison, because that's what Paul was supposed to do. But remember, Paul had an occupation just like most of us. His occupation was he was a tent maker. He just had a heart for the Lord and certainly a call on his life to build the new church for Jesus. But we have to ask ourselves the question, are we serving the Lord with humility and with tears even though it gets hard? Paul didn't shrink back because it got hard. So I don't know what it's like in your workaday world or with your neighbors or with your family. But we can't shrink back just because it gets difficult to share about repentance and about faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul knows it's not going to get any easier. He says, beginning in verse 22, "And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." And then he continues on in verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus." The application to us of Acts 20 cries out to us in the words of Paul right here. How do you value your life? What's precious to you? Is it to finish your course and the ministry that you receive from the Lord Jesus? Or is it more about your own personal priorities? Do you even have a ministry that you've received from the Lord Jesus? I believe He expects something from each one of us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that gives us life. And just like Paul, who wasn't a full-time minister, he was a tent maker. He had a mission from God. Do we? I pray, Lord, that if I'm not clear, if I'm not sure what you have in store for me, that I would discover it, that I would take time today to think about what ministry that you have me here for, so that I might accomplish my purpose in life, just like Paul. Make it a priority to do ministry for you and not just live this life for myself. We pray, Lord, reveal the ministry you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.